1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. It's been a while since we've been in this chapter. We've been trying to kill Goliath for months. But we've had Lighthouse here. They got in the way so that Goliath couldn't get killed. And Robbie Molinax got in the way so we couldn't kill Goliath. But we see him killed in this portion of Scripture. And we're going to preach from verses 50 through 58. And the Philistine says to David in verse 44, he said, "I'm going to give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." And this is what David said. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee." Remember that. He said he'd do that, didn't he? "Take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine. I like how this reads. All the Bible is perfectly preserved, but I just like how this reads. "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines unto the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shamron, even to Gath and to Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.' And the king said, 'Inquire thou whose son this stripling is.' And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son art thou, thou young man?' And David answered, 'I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.'" Dear Heavenly Father, as we look in your word and study and see these things that you've put upon our heart tonight and share them with these precious people, Lord, I pray you'd feed these people. They've come to hear from you tonight, I believe. And it's overwhelming and humbling to stand here. We don't want to just talk and speak. We want to be empowered by your Spirit to be able to preach and say something through your Spirit that would minister to hearts and lives and encourage and exhort. And Lord, you can do that. We're confident that your word will work again tonight. Without you, we can do all. Without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. Lord, there's a need here tonight that you can meet through your word, and I ask you to do it through your word. Lord, I pray for our church family that can't be here tonight. For whatever reason, I pray you keep them safe. I pray for our church family that might be sick. Lord, I pray that you just heal their bodies and touch them, give them grace. Be with those, Lord, that could possibly be even indifferent, Lord. Lord, I pray you just deal with their heart as you've dealt with us in the past before. And I pray the family of God be back together. very, very soon. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for the opportunity to worship tonight, to open up a perfect Bible that's forever settled in heaven. Thank you that we can have confidence in it, stand upon the promises, and live by those commands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight on 10 questions that'll preach. 10 questions that'll preach. That's a little odd, isn't it? Yeah. 10 questions that'll preach. I started thinking of some questions, and sometimes when you study the Bible, sometimes you'll think of questions that come up. And I just kept thinking about questions, and I had something kind of put together here, and I thought, well, I just stick with that. 10 questions that'll preach. And I hope they can be a blessing to you. But before I get to those questions, I want to make 5 little observations out to you about what David said that could be a blessing to you, help to you. When David was confronted by Goliath, and when Goliath told him, when the Philistine says, "Am I a dog? He comes to me with staves," and he cursed David by his gods and said, "I'll give you flesh to the fowls there," right? What's David's response? I see that it's fivefold. First of all, he tells Goliath, he said, "Look here, buddy, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And by the way, the Bible says, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." It's all through the scripture. I thought about a message just on that and go to all those spots. But there is blessing to the man that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, there's God's blessing on the man that comes in the name of the Lord. Somebody might come and look like they're coming in the name of the Lord, but the man that comes in the name of the Lord will receive the blessing of God in the name of the Lord. He said something else. He said, "I come to thee with the name in the name of the Lord. You're coming to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I don't need those things." Remember? He says, I don't have a sword. I'll have to get yours. He said, I'm not coming with all that. All those things. I'm just coming in the name of the Lord. Then the second thing he says, "whom you defied." That's what angered David. There's certain motivations, and they're not all the same. There's multiple motivations that should keep us fighting for the Lord. And one of those things should be is people that defy the armies of the living God. Sure, it should make you angry and make you boil to see what our country does to the name of the Lord. And what our government stands for that was contrary to what our country was founded on. Some things should make you boil. You should see certain things, hear certain things, and you should get righteously angry about the situation. And if you don't, that means you're not holy. That means you're not like your God. There should be something. Hey, he's talking about my God. I know you're not going to talk about my God that way. You're not going to defy the armies of the living God. That should be a motivation to fight. And that was one of his. The third thing he said, "this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." He was fully confident it's going to happen right now. It's not going to be later. It's going to be right now. These are like the 5 bullets that he shoots. It's the 5 bullets that he shoots. He said, "I'm coming in the name of the Lord. You've defied God, and God's on my side. And this day, God's going to deliver you into my hand. I'm going to feed you to the carcass. I'm going to feed the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day and of the fowls of the air." You think I'm going to get eaten up? No, the hosts of the Philistines are going to get eaten up. Is that not what it says in verse 46? "That all the earth may know." That's the fourth bullet, if you will. He said that all the earth may know, and this assembly is going to know, that the Lord saveth. All the earth is going to know that there's a God in Israel. That's the fourth thing. The fifth thing he says, that just, he makes it very, very clear. Everything from where we're reading all the way down to 58. One repetition, and we're going to talk about repetition tonight. One of the repetitions is this, that God puts in his holy word in this narrative is this. God doesn't save with sword, spear, and shield. God saves through his name and the power of his name, and that's all. You don't need all the other things. So he says that again. Yeah, all the earth's going to know there's a God in Israel, but this assembly, verse 47, is going to know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle's the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Those are the five things I noticed that David came. I mean, he just stood up. I see his chest out talking to this Philistine. But he had all courage to stand up against him. But we move on to these questions that we'll preach. We take our text from verses 49 to 58. Jot these down. Don't look for alliteration. Don't look for them to rhyme. Don't look for them to tie together. Just ask the Lord to speak to your heart as we go to each question. I don't know what to tell you. Number one, did Goliath die twice? Kind of feels like he did. So what you mean, preacher? Just listen. And David put his hand, verse 49, put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Boom, down. That thing just went square in his forehead, Curtis. Big old, I believe when God said it went in, I believe there was an indention and it went in. I believe that thing was stuck right there. Hey, I like it, don't you? I believe it was in there. I believe the power of God was behind that stone. I believe that stone wasn't just David's little arm twirling around. I believe the power of God was behind that thing, and that thing, it launched in there. And he said, I'd never felt like anything like that before. And he was graveyard dead right there. But did he die twice? Listen. So David prevailed. I like those words. So David prevailed. Boy, God needs a prevailing people, doesn't he? A winning people. He prevailed with a sling and a stone and smote that Philistine and slew him. There's no sword in his hand. Verse 50, read this with me. Verse 51. Therefore David ran. He didn't even waste any time. And stood upon the Philistine. He jumped right up on top of that dude and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. He pulled it out, cut his head off. What, did he die twice? I don't care what you think about it. But all I want to say is, he made sure he was dead. He made sure he was dead. I think he died with that forehead shot. And then David jumped on top and said, I'm going to make sure he is dead. And he cut his head off. And I can see a bloodbath right there, and I'm good with it. And he picked up that head over his head. Oh, yeah. Look at here what God's done. He was old radical, wasn't he? He was an old camp meeting fundamental shouting Baptist at that moment. Glory to God! Hallelujah! He was acting like Percy Ray, I bet you. I tell you what, he's excited about it, and he should have been. But I think he was already dead, but he wanted evidence. He took that head around everywhere. He took that head around everywhere. He wanted the evidence. But this is the point I want to leave with you. That stone went in his head. I believe that he died right there. If you don't think that, that's fine. If you believe he died with the sword, that's fine too. But all I know is David wanted to make sure he was really dead. Now that's what we've got to do with something. That's what we've got to do with something. You know what the Goliath is in your life? It's your sin. We got to make sure that sin's dead. And you want to know why we don't kill sin? Because we don't think they're Goliaths. We don't think they're dangerous. We don't think sin is greater than we are. We're no match for Goliath. Amen? David was no match for Goliath, and we are no match for our own sin. Sin is too powerful for any of us. We pet sin. We kiss sin when we should murder sin, slay sin, and make a bloodbath of sin. What's the word that God uses about killing sin? Mortify. Mortify. Colossians 3:5 names nine different sins there to where to kill. Mortify those things. Kill those deeds of the flesh. Galatians chapter number 5. We think of sin like it's some scrawny little boy like David. Oh, they won't do that. That sin won't do me no damage. It's fine. I can keep it around the house and keep it in my life. It won't do no harm. It's just one of my little sins. I don't care. Any little sin can turn into a Goliath real quick, and it'll take you captive and you'll be enslaved to it. It's a little here, a little there. You know what you got to do to any sin? Just like what David did. Well, I got it one time with the stone, but let me just make sure. Get on top of that thing and just take that sword of the Word of God to that sin and just make sure. Am I sure? I'm sure. Let me pick his head up and let me see there's nothing attached. And pick it up and be a conqueror over your sin in Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to do with his sin. And you know what you do to have victory over your sin? Look right here, church. Look right here. You take this King James Bible out and you cut your sin up with this Bible, and then you can reach down and say, hey, I got victory over that habit. I got victory over that lust. I got victory over that green sin maybe of envy or lust. And I can pick those things up and say, hallelujah, there's power in the Word of God. You listening to me? How did Jesus get victory over his sin? He took the sword of the Spirit to the devil and conquered and won over the greatest temptation ever with the power of the Word of God. Well, preacher, I didn't know when you asked, did Goliath die twice, that you were going to go there? You see what I'm talking about? Let's be like David. Let's jump on that Goliath. And let's cut out that sin with the Word of God, with that sword. Number two, what did David not have? He didn't have a sword. He let everybody know that he didn't have a sword. And he let everybody know he wasn't going to use a sword. And he let everybody know the war wasn't going to be won with the artillery. Not with sword, not with shield. What was the other one? I'm sorry. Not with sword, not with shield, not with spear. Three trilogies. The trilogy, rather. What did David not have? He didn't have a sword. The Bible makes it clear that Jonathan had a sword. Jonathan had a sword. In chapter 14. Goliath had a sword. Saul had a sword. David's going to use Goliath's sword later on. David had no weapon at this point. The prophet comes to our mind. It's not by might, nor by power, nor by thy power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord, Zechariah 4:6. The Bible says the church of Antioch had the hand of the Lord upon them in Acts chapter number 11 and verse 21. The hand of the Lord was upon them, and many souls believed. When you got the hand of the Lord on you, you don't need sword. You don't need a shield. When you've got the Lord, you've got everything. When you're going in the name of the Lord, you've got everything you ever need. You don't need all that stuff. Number three, what is divinely repeated? What is divinely repeated? Verse 51, verse 54, verse 57. Slew him and cut off his head. Verse 51, verse 54. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. Verse 57. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. You can see David walking around with that head. That's wonderful. I can see it now. Blood dripping from it when it was fresh. Carrying it by the nap. I don't even know. He surely had to use two hands. Goliath was probably so arrogant, that's why his head was so big. Goliath's head being taken is repeated three times. Why would God repeat something? God repeats something so we can picture it and see that the different scenarios where the war was absolutely won. Why did he want to take it back to Jerusalem? Evidence. Now, Jerusalem's going to be a while. If you study the chronology of all this, this Jerusalem doesn't happen right away. This Jerusalem is many months down the road. He wanted to preserve that head. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he pickled the thing, put it in a jar. I'm serious. He had to do something. I'm serious. I don't know if he put it in a 5-gallon glass jar and preserved it somehow, but he kept it. He kept it. He brought it to Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jerusalem the next day. But he wanted the evidence. Now, I'm just thinking about somebody else's head. Somebody else's head in Matthew chapter number 14. John the Baptist's head on a charger, right? There's been a many folks. Maybe not their head being put on a charger, but their head's been put on a chopping block. And their head's been put on a cross. Or their head's been put on a fire post. And they've been burned at the stake for Jesus Christ. But this time, I'm glad to report to you, the tables are turned. And God got the victory. But let me tell you assuredly, everybody's going to have the table turned when Jesus comes back and gets his church. And all those that forget God and curse God and blaspheme God, they will be in the lake of fire and they will burn forever. Everybody represents Goliath that curses God. They will burn in hell forever. And every martyr will be exalted at the top of the ring in heaven for their faith in Jesus Christ, for their martyrdom for Jesus. Amen? Think about that head. Quickly, number four, who did not keep their deal? Who did not keep their deal? Who did not hold up their end of the stick? The Philistines didn't. Once they saw their enemy's head was cut off, what'd they do in verse 51? They fled. They didn't keep their deal. What do you mean? In verse number 9, they said, what did they say in verse number 9? They said in verse number 9, if y'all prevail, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. Verse 9. They didn't keep their end of the deal, did they? Let me tell you something real quick and move on. The devil and the devil's people never keep their end of the deal, because they're of their father, the devil, the father of all lies. And God's people ought to be the exact opposite people. If anybody ought to tell the truth, it ought to be God's people. And honesty's not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy for God's people. They didn't keep their end of the deal. And don't expect somebody from the world to tell you something and keep their word. Be honest with you right here. I've been preaching through 2 Corinthians, and Paul couldn't keep his word to the Corinthians. I've been teaching this on the radio. He couldn't keep his word to the Corinthians. And I was thinking about this. You know, man, even at their best power to perform it, cannot keep their word sometimes. Even if they try their best, say, I'm going to do this, or if the Lord will. And we make a promise. We try to perform something. We can't do it because we're men. We're frail. We're flesh. But there is one who always keeps his word. He's Jesus. We don't have the power to execute what we say we will do. We have good intentions, and we should apologize if we can't perform it. And we know about it. But the world's crowd and the devil, they're never going to keep the deal. They're liars. Notice with me, number five, what word is used frequently? What word is used frequently? Well, it's a simple little word, but I like this little word. You'll find it all throughout this portion of Scripture. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came, drew nigh to David to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel, what's the word I'm looking at? Oh, y'all good at listening. That's good. And. I don't know if it means much to you, and it's not much doctrinal significance at all, but there's a little bit of application. When I saw those ands, it means when God gives you his power, you can go on and 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 on for God. And when you have spiritual momentum and God gives it to you sometimes, he'll give you some seasons. You better work as hard as you can to press on towards the mark, because God's given you victories. And don't sit on your seat of nothing either. Go in the name of the Lord. Go in the power of his Spirit. Fear not, Goliath. fear not this world and say, I'm going to take on this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this day, something's going to happen that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And boom, shakalaka. And. How about that? You know what we live in? But, Lord, I don't know. But, Pastor. Stop with the excuses and go in the name of the Lord. And. Are you tracking where I'm going? Yeah, we can. I like it. You say, I can't. No, we can't do some things. There's some things that we can't do that we used to do. But there's still some ands left. Who knows what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Yeah. God can give you sweet victory at any season of life. The and of advancement. It's the and of advancement. And let me tell you something. It's the and of adventure. When you're living in those ands and not those excuses, and you're living in those ands, next thing. And you're advancing with God, it's adventurous. It's the life of faith. It's a little bit scary, wondering what God's going to do. But you think, man, the Lord's going to take care of us. You think David was a little scared? I bet there were some moments he was scared. He didn't show it. But I bet for a minute he had to. But he had to strengthen himself in the Lord. Number six. Who was forgotten? That's a good question. Was David forgotten? Was David forgotten? I don't know for sure. Let me just read you the Bible. Look at verse number 56. Saul's inquiring to Abner, whose son is this youth? Whose son is this youth? Did he ask who is this? Or did he ask whose son is this? Verse 58. And David said unto him, whose son art thou, thou young man? Saying that to David. Who do you belong to? Who's your daddy, right? Is that what he's asking him, everybody? Clear? Okay. Who's your father? Say, but that's just a reference that he doesn't know who David is at this point. You could be right. You could be right. I don't really know. I think he really wants to know who his father is. Because he says it two times. But I do know one thing. With that statement being cleared up, I do know one thing. David is not appreciated. And David gets kind of overlooked. Whose son is this? He's still referred to as a youth and a stripling, right? Just kind of, you know? Oh, well. Did he forget David? If he forgot David, he had serious mental problems that should have put him in a ward. But that is possible. I'm telling you what, you let the devil take control of your life, he'll destroy your mind. And it's possible. It's very possible. But he asked, whose boy is this? Something to think about. But I want to tell you, don't be discouraged. Please hear me. Don't be discouraged when your name don't get on the screen, your name don't get put in the bulletin, and the pastor forgets to say something about you, and somebody doesn't say thank you to you. Because it matters not if man forgets you, because Jesus knows you. What was left out that should have been somewhere at the end of this chapter? What was left out that should have been somewhere? Thank you, Brother Curtis. Would you like to finish? No, I'm just kidding, brother. What was left out? Thanks. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's nowhere. So they might have said it. They might have did, sure, and God didn't put it in there, but I doubt it. No, thank you. God forbid that we have such victories as these and never say thank you, right? My, oh my. Nowhere to be found. Should be a big praise spell before we get into chapter 18. Look what God did for us. It surely wasn't David. He was just an old runt. But God gave us the victory. Must have been the power and grace of God. Nowhere to be found, right? Let it not be named once among us that something like this, or even smaller, that we wouldn't just say, thank you, Lord, for coming through for us. Number 8, what did this victory begin? 2 things. You remember when they said in the Gospels, this is the beginning of Jesus' miracles? John 2, turn the water into wine. This is the beginning. What does this victory begin? This is now the beginning of David's triumphs. This is now the avalanche of triumphs that he's going to have. Those ladies are going to start singing in a little bit next chapter, aren't they? Yeah. David. They're going to sing David's praises. This is just the beginning snowball of the triumphs. This is just the start. This is just David being a rookie. This is like his first game in pro, if you will. He's just going to go forward from here. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds real nice, doesn't it? But not only is it the beginning of triumphs, it's the beginning. Take a listen to this, Brandon. Come out here so you can hear this. This is not only the beginning of triumphs, this is the beginning of trials. You thought Goliath was a big deal? Saul was nothing compared to Goliath. And hint David hiding in the cave. And David fleeing for his life time and time again. And his family being against him. And the sin that he's going to commit that's going to cause so much trouble in his life, right? This is just the beginning of trials. Everybody wants the triumph. Everybody wants the glory. Everybody wants the victory. But there's a price tag for it. That was just the beginning. That was just the beginning of the trials that he faced. Oh, you think in your life, oh, I got Goliath gone, and I praise God. He can take care of Goliath in your life. Amen. But don't get big head. Because right around the bend, Saul's got a javelin in his hand in chapter 18 and wants to pin him to the wall. Don't let your highs get you too high, and don't let your lows get you too low, Steve Ward would say. I went over to his office and said, what advice you give me as a young pastor? He said, don't let your highs get you too high, and don't let your lows get you too low. Just try your best to just be even keel through life. That's good advice. When you get past that Goliath, you might want to just humble yourself before the Lord. Number 9, what is God up to in David's life? This is where it gets a little more personal. Well, he's molding and making him. He's testing and trying him. God will test our pride by letting us win one big one. God will test our pride by letting us win one big one. He'll let us get a big victory and see, how are you going to respond to that? What are you going to do with that? He tested David by triumph. He tested him by pride. He tested him by rejection. He tested him by the praise in chapter number 18 of all those ladies. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 30 that David behaved himself more wisely. What is God, number 10, what is God up to in your life? The same thing he's up to in David's life. David had seasons. Just like you have seasons, we'll have seasons of victory. We'll have seasons when we kill Goliath. We'll have seasons when we kill our thousands. We'll have seasons when we get prayers answered. And we'll have seasons where we think, where is God at? seasons of loneliness and you don't even think your prayer gets through a 6-foot ceiling sheetrock. Where's God? You'll have seasons of temptation. You'll have seasons of rejection where you don't feel like anybody's accepting you and you're being rejected by friends, family, everybody. It's probably what you're thinking about. It's probably not true. You just feel that way. It's probably not legitimate. Don't overthink things. But trust God. Does anybody else get in their own head? That's the devil getting in your own head. Casting down every imagination, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. Throw it to Jesus. He had a season of life of training. The Lord could be training you for something right now. But God is up to something in your life to draw Him close to you, to test you, to mold you, make you. Every one of us right now in our season are getting tested. And God knows how we're going to come out. But the test is not for the teacher. The teacher already knew I was going to fail. Because they knew I paid no attention in school. I thought about basketball all the time. Right? The teacher already knows I'm not going to do good, right? The teacher already knows where we're at, right? The tests that we go through and the seasons that we go through are not for him to find out where we're at. It's for us to find out where we're at. And God's got us at a place right now, a season right now in your life. And that's what God's up to. He's trying that faith to be more precious than gold. And he can try that just as much in the valley as he up on the mountain. He can try that just as much as when you beat Goliath, and probably more. I mean, victory is a good testing ground. Because it's then we, through that victory, sometimes we don't get as close to God as we ought to. So, 10 questions to think about. Random as buckshot, but I hope it was a blessing to you. But remember, God's got a plan for your life. He's using you, molding you to be the servant of God that you ought to be. And let's have the faith that David had to go against the enemy, go against the world, and go in the name of the Lord of hosts. Let's everybody stand together. As she comes to the piano, begins to play something, maybe you'd like to slip to the altar and say, something was said tonight that helped me. God spoke to me. Maybe you're going through an avalanche of trials right now. It's starting, it's snowballing. You need the Lord's help and grace. Just come talk to Him. Maybe there's some sin that you need to kill. Stand up on it and take the sword of the Word of God and get it out of your life. Maybe you'd like some more ands in your life. And just keep advancing for God and not settle for status quo, but in the name of the Lord, advance. Maybe you just need grace and comfort. Help in your time of need. Come to the Lord.